الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وسيجنبها الأتقى الذي يؤتي ماله يتزكى وما لأحد عنده من نعمة تجزى إلا ابتغاء وجه ربه الأعلى ولسوف يرضى صدق الله العظيم. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon the greatest of all, none other than Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again, reminding ourselves that it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us that we have been blessed with the honor of sitting in a masjid and listening to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. So we continue on with Suratul Layl, and after outlining the two paths of man and also explaining about those people that will enter into Jahannam. Following this was a discussion with regards to the status of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhim Ajma'een, and we come to the conclusion and the culmination of this surah, where then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the people that will be saved from the fire of Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى, and the most God-fearing one, the person with the most taqwa, will be saved from the fire of Jahannam. الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَا لَهُ, the one who gave his wealth. Why? Why did he give his wealth? يَتَزَكَّى, so that he could cleanse himself. This is also where the word tazkiyah, the tazkiyah, you know, we hear this word often. This is where the word comes from. It's talking about spiritual cleansing. So why did this person give his wealth? He gave his wealth to clean himself spiritually. وَمَا لِأَهَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى, he did not give this wealth, or he did not sacrifice his wealth to anybody in order to repay a favor for him that he had been blessed with from before. Yani, it wasn't a repayment of any such favor. If a person donates his wealth or makes some monetary sacrifices in order to repay someone, favor upon them from before, then that's one thing, it's a good thing. But if there was no such thing, it was a one-way thing, then this is even a greater thing. إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى, except to seek the favor and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى, and soon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most definitely will be happy with him and will be pleased with him. Now generally the ulama, there are two types of tafsir that come with these collection of verses, although they are very easily compliant with each other. Very easily. The first tafsir that is mentioned is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the ummah on a general basis, on a generic basis. And the message is that the person who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fears Him, and the person who donates his wealth and he spends his wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not as a repayment to anybody else, to anybody for a favor, only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person who fulfills these conditions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in return will bless him with his rida and bless him with his happiness. So that's the generic message that comes from this, from these verses. However, the second tafsir and the explanation for these verses is that these verses are specifically referring to the great personality and the great individual who was none other than Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an. And the story is that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an, during the time of Makkatul Mukarrama, he purchased and freed several slaves who had accepted Islam, who were owned by disbelievers and then had accepted Islam, and upon the acceptance of the Islam, the disbelievers, the disbelieving owners, had started to beat them and persecute them and torture them, trying to get them to come out of Islam. And obviously the famous story is Hazrat Bilal ibn Rabah radiyallahu ta'ala. And we all know this story, that Bilal ibn Rabah radiyallahu ta'ala was a slave, and he became Muslim. He was one of the early, very early Muslims. And his master and his master's, you know, people, his cronies, they began, when they found out about this, they began to beat him and persecute him profusely on a daily basis. They would drag him in the streets of Makkah, make him lie down on the burning sun. Many of us have been blessed with the trip to Umrah or Hajj. And those who have been to Mecca, they know the severity of the heat and how difficult it is just to walk at the time of Dhuhr. Imagine being dragged on the sand dunes of Mecca in the burning heat, having a great big rock placed on your neck, on your chest, and being beaten only because you believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They tried to snatch his iman from him. Wallahi, he protected his iman more than anything else. He did not care about his physical body. Wallahi, he only cared about his iman. In the midst of all of this, he just said one thing: Ahad, Ahad, yani Allah is one, Allah is one. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, he purchased Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an, and then he freed him. So many of the ulama, balki Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah has mentioned that some ulama have even declared a consensus on this, that these verses relate to none other than Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. Besides Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an, he freed many other slaves. Ibn Ishaq has mentioned 7 different names, including Hazrat Amir ibn Fuhaira radiallahu ta'ala an, who himself was a Badri Sahabi. And for context, The Sahabas who had attended Badr have been given the third highest status of all the Ummah. The highest status is of the Khulafa'i Rashidun, and then it is of the 10 who were given the glad tidings of Jannah in this world, and then it is the participants of Badr. So imagine if Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu purchased him and freed him. He himself was a Badri Sahabi. Imagine the status of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. In one narration in Mustadrak Hakim is mentioned that the people that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu purchased and freed, they were considered to be from the du'afa. They were considered to be from the weak people of Makkah. They had no social status. They had physically and from a monetary perspective, they had no strength and no status. So Uthman, the father of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and for context, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, and his name was Abdullah. His father's name was Uthman. But his kunniya, his title was Abu Bakr, his father's title was Abu Quhafa. So Abdullah bin Uthman, also Abu Bakr ibn Abi Quhafa. He said to him, "Oh Abu Bakr, that's fine, you know, you want to purchase these people, you want to slave and free them and you want to help them. Abu Bakr, why don't you purchase those slaves who are strong? So that when a time might come when we will need reinforcements or we will need help, we can call upon these people and they can repay the favor that we gave upon them. And they will help us in the wars and like things like this." Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that, "Oh my father, my purpose is not to take repayment in the future. My purpose is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why I do not look at their strength. I look at the fact that they were Muslim, they were being abused, and I took pity on them and I used my wealth to save them." Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala himself was a very affluent and rich person. He spent his entire life with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will speak about that in just a moment, inshallah ta'ala. Moving on, the final verse. So just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Illa ibtigha'a wajhi rabbihi al-a'la," the same answer that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala gave to his father, that except his purpose was simply to achieve the countenance and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there was no repayment of any favor. He says that when Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala was purchased and freed by Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, the enemies of Islam said that, "Oh, Abu Bakr only did it because Bilal had given him a favor from before." So Abu Bakr, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in defense of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, he reveals the verse, "Illa ibtigha'a wajhi wama li ahadin indahu min ni'matin tujza." There was no favor from Bilal from before that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala was repaying. "Illa ibtigha'a wajhi rabbihi al-a'la." He simply seek the pleasure and the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then a final glad tiding for Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى, and soon Allah will be happy with him. Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimullah has also mentioned both of these tafsirs. He's mentioned about Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, and the compliance of the two is such that Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimullah says that yes, it's fine, the verse is on a generic perspective, but who وَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى, the first person, so basically from the first of tafsir is anybody who fulfills this criteria, they will receive the pleasure of Allah. So Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimullah explains, that's fine. Who was the first person to achieve this criteria? It was none other than Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala. So the compliance is very obvious and very easy to understand. And it also gives us an understanding of the level and the status of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimullah also mentions a story that outlines this. He says that at the time of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, as an individual whose name was Urwa bin Mas'ud. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala had used some very harsh words against him. So in reply, he said to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, "O Abu Bakr, if it was not for a favor that you had done upon me, that I had not yet repaid you, I would have also spoke back to you. But because of the favor you've done upon me, I've not repaid you yet, I will stay quiet." And Urwa bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the chief of the Banu Thaqif tribe. So if Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had this favor upon the chiefs of the tribe, imagine what kind of favors he had upon the normal people. And Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he explains this story. And so with this we conclude the actual tafsir of Surah Al-Layl. However, as there is time, I will take some time out to speak about this great personality. It is upon us, our farz, to take time out of our lives to speak about these people. Wallahi, the ihsan and the favor that they have done upon us, we have mentioned before about the Sahaba. Wallahi, we could talk all day and all night, spend all our lives talking about the Sahaba, and wallahi, we would not fulfill one single small tiny favor that they have done upon us. But we have to try. Today we are talking about the greatest of all the Sahaba. The greatest of all Sahaba, he was, as mentioned before, Abdullah bin Uthman, Abu Bakr ibn Abi Quhafa. He was on the sixth level of grandparents. His sixth granddad was the same. His family line meets with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at Murra bin Ka'b. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to talk about his status from the Quran and Ahadith. To begin with the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most famous verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, "Illa tansuruhu faqad nasarahu Allah, idh akhrajahu alladhina kafaru thaniya ithnaini idh huma fil ghar, idh yaqulu li sahibihi." When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his companion, and there is a consensus of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and the Ulama that the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the cave was none other than Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. So his suhbah, his being a Sahabi, is established by the greatest of all types of evidence, and that is directly from the Quran. And it is mentioned with explicity. Moving on, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah has brought the following verse and has indicated that this verse also talks about Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لِلْفُقَرَاءِ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ, for the poor muhajirin, the migrators, الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ, those who were removed from their houses, وَأَمْوَالِهِمْ يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا, and the wealth was taken away from them. Why? Because they seek the favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His happiness. وَيَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, and they were helping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The intention was to help Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about these people? أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah has indicated that this verse is talking about Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, who was of course part of the Muhajirin. Also, some ulama say, where in the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِي جَاءَ بِالصِّدْقِ, this is talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَصَدَّقَ بِهِ, and he believed in the Quran. It's talking about Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. He was the one, when Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, when they were in the cave, he said, Ya Rasulullah, if the kuffar were to look down at their feet, wallahi, they would see us. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded, لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not be grieved, do not worry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, ما ذنك يا أبا بكر باثنين الله ثالثهما. What do you think of those two people, O Abu Bakr, whom Allah is their third? Such a high status. Imagine, we spoke about spending one millisecond in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahi, this personality spent his entire life with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that one day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed the people, and he said, he explained that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave a slave a choice between the dunya and between that which was with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the slave chose that which was with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The narrator says, فَبَكَى أَبُو بَكْرٍ. He said, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu began to weep. So the Sahaba say that we were wondering in amazement, that why is this man weeping? In one narration he says, yeah, hadha Sheikh, you know, this old man, why is he weeping? Yeah, what's the big deal? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking about a slave. He's given a choice, he chooses Allah. What's the big deal? لكن أبو بكر أعلمنا. He said, we didn't know, but Abu Bakr, he knew better than us. He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on seeing this, he said, لَإِنَّ مِنْ أَمَنِ النَّاسِ عَلَيَّ فِي صُحْبَتِهِ وَمَالِهِ أَبَا بَكْرٍ. He says that the person with the greatest favor upon me through his companionship and his wealth is Abu Bakr. He said, if I was to take a friend, I would take, besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I would take Abu Bakr. However, in Islam, there is brotherhood. He says, لَا يَبْقَيَنَّ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ بَاب إِلَّا سُدَّ إِلَّا بَابَ أَبِي بَكْرٍ. He said, every single door of the masjid, there were various doors that used to enter into the masjid. He said, every single masjid door should be closed except for the door of Abu Bakr. He says this was to make us understand the status of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And once in one hadith, these hadith are all from Bukhari Sharif. He says, a woman came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her that, come back to me later. So she said, oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when I come back to you, what if I will not find you? Indicating towards the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So my Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam responded, then go to Abu Bakr. Another indication of what was to come. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala was the first man to accept Islam. And as mentioned, he was a very affluent man and a wealthy man. But he spent all of his wealth sacrifice his wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We look in the seerah. He says, when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu left for the migration with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Quhafa, he comes to his granddaughters, Hadra Asma and Hadra Aisha, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. He says, oh Abu, he's gone. Yeah, my son has gone. I bet you he didn't even leave a penny for you. I know my son, he probably took all the wealth. Abu Quhafa was blind. So the daughters, the granddaughters, they take a sack and they fill it with stones. And they cover it. And they said, oh, our grandfather, you know, our father left us much wealth. And just to keep him happy, they made him put his hand over the stones. So he thought it was wealth. But even Abu Quhafa knew that Abu Bakr, when he comes to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will give everything. He will give everything for the sake of Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a narration from Hazrat Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, says that fi zaman al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we used to compare between the Sahaba. And we always used to put Abu Bakr as the first. And then we used to put Umar as number two. And we used to put Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhum at number three. One day, a very emotional and famous hadith, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah brings it. He says, one day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sat with the Sahaba. He said, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he comes. And he was holding his cloth high. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that it looks like your companion has had a quarrel. He looked at the face of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And he says, it looks like your companion has had a quarrel. He says, he made salam. And he says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, I had a disagreement with Umar. I had a disagreement with Ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an. He says that I was a little bit harsh with him and now I'm feeling regretful. After I felt regretful, I went to Hazrat Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an and I asked him for forgiveness, but he's not forgiving me. So he's coming to Rasulullah ﷺ to complain. Why is he not forgiving me? This is why I have come to you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in response, he said, يغفر الله لك يا أبا بكر. Oh Abu Bakr, Allah will forgive you. He says, the story continues. Rasulullah sallallahu said this three times. يغفر الله لك أبا بكر. يا أبا بكر. Oh Abu Bakr, Allah will forgive you. He says, then Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, who had refused to accept the apology, he felt guilty and he felt regretful. So he went and he went to the house of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. And he says, is Abu Bakr here? So the people in the house said, no, he's not here. So he says that he goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he made salam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. Obviously Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been informed about what had transpired between the two great personalities. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's face began to change. His blessed, beloved face began to change with anger because of what had transpired between them. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he understood what was going on. So after a while, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he felt guilty. And he felt sorry for Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. And he says, he kneeled over and he said, Ya Rasulullah, Wallahi, ana kuntu azlam. Wallahi, Ya Rasulullah, I was the one that did zulam. I was, from the two of us, I was more wrong than him. And just leave it, Ya Rasulullah. It's okay. Don't be angry with Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Look at the love between the Sahaba. Yeah, they have a quarrel. Abu Bakr is asking for forgiveness. Umar is angry. Then Umar is feeling, you know, he's feeling guilty as well. So he's now coming to look for him. Then, at the end of the quarrel, Rasulullah is angry. So Hazrat Abu Bakr is starting to feel sorry for Hazrat Umar again. So he's asking, Ya Rasulullah, you know, it's okay, leave it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَعَثَنِي إِلَيْكُمْ فَقُلْتُمْ كَذَّبْتَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent me to you. He said, all of you said that you have lied. He said, all of you have said that you have lied. Yani nobody believed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَقَالَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ صَدَقَ. He said, everyone said no. Abu Bakr said, you have spoken the truth. He said, nobody believed me. Abu Bakr believed me. He said, Wallahi, he said, nobody believed me except Abu Bakr. He said, Abu Bakr believed me. So why do you not leave him? Just leave his case when he comes to Abu Bakr. He says, after that, nobody said anything about Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. He said, do you not understand that the person who gave difficulty and grief to Abu Bakr, he gave difficulty and grief to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the greatest supporter. He was the greatest supporter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One hadith, Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had deputized him to go on expedition. He says, I went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I said to him, Ayyun nasi ahabbu ilayk. He said, Oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the most beloved of people to you? My Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said, Aisha. He said, Aisha. Our mother, Ummu al-Mu'mineen, Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. فَقُلْتُ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ فَقَالَ أَبُوهَا. So I said, Ya Rasulullah, what about from the men? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, her father. Then I said, Ya Rasulullah, then after him who? He said, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. And in one hadith, and slowly starting to wrap up now. Time is less. Wallahi, we could go on all night talking about this great personality. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa explained that there are many doors of Jannah and every door will call certain people. Like for example, the door for the people who fast, its name is Rayyan. It will call the people who used to love fasting. So then, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there's a long hadith, but Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu asks, Ya Rasulullah, is there anybody whom all the doors of Jannah will call? He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa said, Naam, farju an takuna minhum. Ya Rasulullah said, that yes, there will be certain people whom all the doors of Jannah will call. Oh Abu Bakr, I have hope that you will be from this group. What kind of person was he? Remember, at the time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was passing away, Abu Bakr has gone to visit his family outside of Madinatul Munawwara. The news has spread. Here, the greatest personality to have come to the face of this earth is leaving the world. The news spread around Madinatul Munawwara about the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not passed away. Whoever says this, I will sever his head from his body. People are crying, people are screaming, they don't know what to do, everyone's running around. They're in despair, confusion. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he hears the news, he rushes into Madinatul Munawwara. He rushes into the masjid. He enters the house of his daughter, Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And he says, he uncovers the cloth that was covering the blessed body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, بِيَبِي أَنْتَ وَأُمِّي طِبْتَ حَيًّا وَمَيِّتَ وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَا يُذِيقُكَ اللَّهُ الْمَوْتَيْنِ مَوْتَتَيْنِ أَبَدًا. He said that by my father and my mother, wallahi, you are beautiful in life as you are beautiful in death. He says that I swear in whose hands my life is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not make you taste death twice. He says he goes and he climbs upon the pulpit. The moment Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu starts to talk, Umar radiallahu anhu sits down. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu starts to speak. Umar radiallahu anhu sits down and he praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he says, Ala man kana ya'budu Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا قَدْ مَاتْ وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ وَقَالْ إِنَّكَ مَيِّتُ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ وَقَالَ وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَى أَعْقَابِكُمْ وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَى عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَسَيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ. He said, understand that whoever worshipped Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away. And whoever worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alive. And he is living and he will never pass away. And he recited the verses, you will die and they will die. And he recited the verses that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was but a prophet. Many prophets have passed before him. Yeah, if he passes away, are you going to turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In the same hadith, later, he's talking about the time when they pledge allegiance to make the Khalifa. And he says that He says, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, Anta sayyiduna wa khayruna wa habbuna ila Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Abu Bakr, you are our master, you are the best of us, and you are the most beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This hadith is also mentioned in Tirmizi Sharif. It says, one day, the son of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya, he asks his father, أَيُّ النَّاسِ خَيْرٌ بَعْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Who was the best man after Rasulullah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ? He said, Abu Bakr. Then he said, who after him? He said, Umar. So Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya says that I feared that next he would say Uthman. Meaning that Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya also understood that after Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Uthman was always number three. So he said, I said to my father, what about you, O father? So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, Ma ana illa rajulun min al-Muslimin. I am but a Muslim from amongst the Muslims. He was not but just a Muslim amongst the Muslims. Hazrat Ali, we can talk about Ali for another decade. Radiallahu ta'ala, wallahi, such a personality. But this was his tawadu and his humility and his humbleness. Out of this, he said this. Again, there was many, many more things, many, many more hadith we can talk about, but time is short. The crux of the matter is that the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala ajma'in in a very high status, up and above all. And from the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, the best of them, without any argument, a matter that there is a consensus upon, from the old and the new and the young and the old, that wallahi, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the best of them. There's testimonies from personalities like Hazrat Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. Wallahi, we'd need a few centuries to talk about this man. Time is short. There's testimonies from people like that. Testimonies from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. There's no argument with this. We have to understand that these people, they had a great favor upon us, and it is up to us to repay this favor. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fills the graves with so much light. And you know, there's so many hadith left to speak about, but time is short. Just one more. His once Rasulullah was walking and he entered the masjid, and he had Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu on the right side and Umar on the left side, and he was holding their hands, and he said, هَكَذَا نُبْعَثْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. This is how we will be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah. There's no argument. These two were the best of the best of the best. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us their qualities, and give us their qualities, and give us their qualities, and give us their love, and give us their respect. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, give us some place near them, close to them, on the day of Qiyamah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to bring the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to our lives, and bless us with the true knowledge of the Holy Quran, and the love for the Quran, and the light of the Quran. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from committing sins, and resurrect us with these amazing, amazing, amazing individuals. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.